many of you are familiar with the act of walking into a convenience store and being overwhelmed by the number of choices of drinks that are available in those coolers? And I'm not talking about in the cave, I'm talking about just out in the public, okay? Amen. But you walk in there and you've got Coke and Diet Coke. I mean, they got 15 flavors of Coke and Pepsi and Mountain Dew and whatever else in there. Starbucks coffees by the millions. I mean, and it's glistening, isn't it? It looks so nice. And then you got the bottled water section. There's 14 different kinds of bottled water. And Brother Ron Ralph's message comes to my mind. Should simplify your life. Amen. Too many choices. You know what that drink cooler is a picture of? That drink cooler is a picture of the religions of the world. You can have any flavor you want. You can get the strong stuff. You can get the weak stuff. You can get the stuff that has the real sugar in it. You can get the stuff that's got the fake sugar in it. You can have whatever flavor of water you want, whatever flavor of pop you want. And you can have it and be happy. And yet, there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And the water of life that He gives freely won't even cost you $1.79. Freely, you will never thirst again spiritually if you'll partake of that water. Isn't He a great Savior? Amen. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, probably the last high point of the message, so amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at our series continuing on damnation this morning. I'm going to read some verses, and then it'll probably be the middle of the message before we get back to these verses. But I want to set the tone with reading them and then pray, and we'll dive right in. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says this, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, all that you read in the Bible about Jesus is not a Disney fairy tale, it's the truth. Amen. "But were eyewitnesses of His majesty, for He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But," chapter 2, verse 1, "there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." This morning, if you're taking notes, we're actually going to get two of the IONs of damnation today. We're going to get the justification and the instruction that leads to damnation. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we love You. Thank You for the wonderful day You've given us. Beautiful morning to get out and come to church. And Lord, these folks have made an effort to come to Spring City Baptist Church to assemble together to hear Your word preached this morning. And Lord, we've already had a wonderful song service in glorifying Jesus Christ and the blood that washes us white as snow from our sins. We praise You for that, Lord. And now, Father, I pray that You'd be mindful of us. Lord, that You'd incline Your heart to these folks assembled together on this hilltop in the middle of nowhere. That, Lord, you'd care for us today. And Lord, that You would help me to have the unction from on high. That my words would be able to reach their heart. And Lord, that Your word would be effectual in our lives. We pray it have free course. The Holy Ghost not be grieved. That He not be quenched. That He not be resisted. And that, Lord, that You'd work in our hearts today And Father, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice who's never been born again, I pray today be their glad hour of salvation. And Lord, those of us who are saved, help us to rejoice in the wonderful truth that we've been given in the Bible that Jesus saves. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So far in this study, we've covered what we call the imputation of damnation. And that word imputation is a big fancy way of saying what's on your account. And we saw that God keeps very detailed records. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? He knows the tears you've cried. The Bible says he's bottled those in heaven. He knows when a sparrow falls, and he's not without knowledge of those things. And so we also saw that God is keeping records in heaven, and he's writing down all the works that men do. And one day men are going to stand before God, and they're going to give an account for those works. And we saw that you can either have those works and those sins remain on your account, or you can have them blotted out and have your name written in the book of life for all of eternity. Amen. We also saw the condemnation of damnation last Sunday morning. That word condemnation simply means to be declared guilty. And we saw so many folks want to try to weigh their good works against their bad works. And as you witness to folks and talk to them about heaven, you may ask them, you know, where would you go if you died today? And they go, heaven. And you say, great, how are you going to get there? And they might come back with an answer, something like, well, I hope my good works outweigh my bad works. And that is a common belief throughout the world today. And we saw last week that if you, from the moment that you're born, if you begin to pile up those good works on that scale, right, that judge's scale that tips, and you begin to pile up those good works, and boy, that weight is there, and one day in your 40s, you tell a lie. And God places that one bad work on that scale, that one sin tips the whole scale to your condemnation. The Bible says in James 2:10, if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all the law. And so we saw the condemnation being declared guilty, and the fact that you cannot be condemned, amen, if you'll believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned when? Already. Why? Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. James 1:15, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We understand the wages of sin is death. That's why Jesus came and died for us. Not only did he die, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But this morning, we're going to look at the justification of damnation. And this rolls right into the instruction that leads to damnation. Is why we're going to try to cover these together, okay? Now, when we preached in the Bible conference and we preach in our churches about once you're born again, once you've been saved, you are justified. We usually term that and define that word justified as being declared righteous. And that's a great definition for that. And if you're saved this morning, you are justified. You have been declared righteous. Praise the Lord for it. But the justification I'm talking about today for damnation is not necessarily declaring someone righteous. It's the right that God has to put someone in hell for all of eternity. In other words, God is righteous in doing that. Now, the world doesn't like to hear that. Most church folks don't like to hear that, but that's the truth of the matter. Okay? So Romans chapter 3, and I'll give you the Webster's definition of that word justification. It means this: sufficient reason. Sufficient reason. We used Brother Seth, Brother Jason, some of these law enforcement guys last week, and you know, gave the illustration of if you're speeding down the highway and the posted speed limit's 55 and you're going 56, we say about that person they have broken the law. Now they only disobeyed one little portion of it, but you know, just with James 2:10, they're guilty of the whole thing. Similarly, you're driving down the road, posted speed limit's 55, you're doing 65. That police officer, that state trooper, is justified in pulling you over. He's got sufficient reason. Amen. Romans chapter 3, and the Bible says this in verse 1. Romans 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Verse 2. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Boy, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Yea, let God be true, but every man a... That'll help you through life if you'll just remember that verse. Every day, it'll help you in life. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? Oh, now. You know how many people look at the problems in their life and shake a fist at God and say, why'd you do that to me, God? They got no right to say that. You know, I think there'll be people at the great white throne. I think they'll cry out, why are you throwing me in hell? And he doesn't deserve it. You don't have to give them an answer. He's righteous for doing so. The Bible says, verse 6, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? Now, this is, I don't want to get caught in the weeds on this, all right? But verse 7, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And this verse is what I wanted to get to. And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. All right? So, again, without getting lost in the weeds, here's what Paul's writing. There apparently were some people in Rome that were talking about the fact that they could sin and God wouldn't judge them. They could lie. And they got away with it. And it says there, verse 8, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Don't you know that's the attitude of the world today? Listen, politicians, elected officials, leaders in every sect of the country that we live in today are going against the Word of God. They're writing God out of the laws of America. They do not trust in God. They do not stand in God. They have no desire at all to invoke the name of God. And they continue to do evil. They continue to push evil. And they don't suffer for it. Isaiah 5:20 described that. Said there are those that call evil good and good evil. And Paul wrote this. He said the people that do that, the Bible says in verse 8, whose damnation is just. In other words, when God judges them and punishes them for all of eternity, God is righteous in doing so. Because they're taking the things of God and they're dragging it through the mud of this world. They're taking the truth of God's word and they're saying, that's not truth. The Bible says, thus hath God said, and the world says, we don't know about that. The Bible says, thou shalt not, and the world says, well, why can't we? And so when God judges the wicked and sinful evil of this world, when he does that, he'll be righteous in doing so. Now, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. So in that conversation that we just had of people calling good evil and evil good, the Bible says, Romans 3, 4, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. Why? Because God is truth. Right? Romans chapter 14, the Bible says this in verse 20. Romans 14:20. Again, I don't want to get caught in the weeds of this. The context here is discussing personal liberties in Jesus Christ. Okay, Romans 14, verse 24, meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. Now watch, verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned, if he eat, because he eateth not of, what's the word? Faith. And the famous phrase, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay, so here's what we've heard so far. God's true, everybody else is a liar. Okay? But in some did not believe. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. For whatsoever is not of faith is, and it's sin. And Jesus taught in John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So why is God just in sentencing sinful people to an eternity in hell because they have not exercised faith in God? Bottom line. You say, boy, that sounds simple. Turn over to Revelation 21. What we've been able to do in this series thus far is we've really been able to debunk a lot of the myths of, boy, you know, God's sitting up in heaven and he's watching your life and he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to rob a convenience store before he condemns you to hell. That's not the case at all. Some people think God's sitting in heaven, he's watching their life and he's waiting for them to divorce their husband or wife before he condemns them to hell. That's not the case at all. Some people think God's sitting in heaven, he's waiting for them to get stoned on marijuana, which apparently is now legal in Virginia. Way to go, Virginia. That's sarcastic, by the way, those of you on the radio. Or God's sitting in heaven waiting for you to get drunk or to commit some heinous sin in the eyes of the community and before he condemns you to hell. And I'm telling you this morning, that is not the case. God has a much lower standard for that. It's a standard that everybody can either meet or they can walk away from it. Revelation 21. Verse 7. He that overcometh. And 1 John tells us that we overcome by. Oh, come on, it was Wednesday night. We overcome by faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How do you overcome? By faith. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 8. But the fearful and, what is that word? Unbelieving. Now look what it's linked with. And the abominable. That's the word God uses for sodomy. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers. Well, that's people go to hell for murdering people, don't they? People go to hell for being a sodomite and whoremonger. People go to hell for committing adultery and fornication. And all of us that go to church say, I'm not doing any of that stuff. And sorcerers. Those that mess around with black magic, witchcraft, they'll go to hell if they don't repent. And idolaters. I mentioned this morning about missionary over in Japan. He's talking about all this Shintoism and Buddhism and those people bowing down to all those little Buddhas and idols and stuff. Listen, if those people don't get saved, they'll go to hell. And all liars. You know what man doesn't do? Man does not categorize sin the way God does. And God just told you in that verse, three sins that will cause someone to go to hell if they don't repent of it. One of them is being fearful. The other is lying. And the last one that nobody ever thinks about is the sin of unbelief. And so if someone lives their life and they've got that record of sin on their account in heaven and they never believe what God told them concerning His Son, He will cast them into the lake of fire for all of eternity, the second death, because their name's not written in the book of life, and it'll simply be because they failed to believe what God said. And when God does that, He will be righteous in doing so. He has sufficient reason simply based on the fact they did not believe. Jesus said it. He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, have you believed? Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Go tell somebody else about it so they can believe. Amen. Amen. All right, now. Well, Mark 16. Let's just go ahead and drive the nail in this morning. Then we'll move on to the instruction that leads to damnation. And I want to hasten. I want to get to that because that's important. Mark 16. Familiar passage here. Most of us familiar with this from missions revivals and things of that nature of the Great Commission, where Jesus told His disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Fantastic verse. We ought to be busy about doing that. Amen. Amen. But it says here in Mark 16, and verse 15, He said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And so you can look at that verse and ask yourself this question, what does it take to go to hell? What does it take for God to sentence someone to the lake of fire for all of eternity, he that believeth not? Bottom line. Why does Jesus want to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? So that everybody has a chance to believe. Because he that believeth not shall be damned, and God is righteous in doing that. Now, lest you get a wrong picture of God this morning in my message, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants the church to be busy doing what we're supposed to do so that people can hear the gospel and be saved and born again. But if they reject the truth that they hear, boy, it scares me to death how many people in Russell County are going to go to hell having heard the gospel 100,000 times in their life. He that believeth not shall be damned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So God is just when He executes judgment. Yes? God is just when He gives people a chance to repent and they refuse it, outright refuse it. God is just in the justice and the judgment that He places upon them. Yes? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is talking about the Antichrist setting up his throne. I'm glad I won't be here. 2 Thessalonians 2. And let's see here. Verse 8. Let's get back to there. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8. The Bible says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, describing the Antichrist. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Okay, you don't want to believe God's truth? He'll send you a lie. Well, that's scary, isn't it? That they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who didn't go to church. No, that they all might be damned who didn't give their tithe. No, that they all might be damned, that what? Believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And God says, you want to have pleasure in unrighteousness? You want to believe the lies that are told about me? Have at it. Help yourself. That's going to be your end. And so this is a warning this morning, because we're going to transition into the instruction that leads to damnation right now. This is a warning today to everybody under the sound of my voice. You'd better heed the truth of God's word and don't listen to a bunch of religious lies. Because if you listen to the religious lies, they will damn your soul for all of eternity. And that is said with all the love in my heart. Because I know there are some sincere religious people out there. There are some sincere, devoted religious people out there. And they think, because the people that stand before them and teach them things that we're going to talk about here in a minute, they think because they can check off, I did this, I did this, I did this, I'm going to go to heaven, and they've never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they will go to hell when they die because they've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is serious stuff this morning. Romans 3, and I want you to grab Genesis 3. Romans chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3. Now, God is justified. In other words, God has sufficient reason to place people in hell, in the lake of fire that was created for the devil and his angels, if they do not believe the truth of God's word. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, what's it say? In him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made a way. You don't have to go to hell. But if you reject that way, he is justified in placing you there for all of eternity. Okay? Romans 3 and Genesis 3. Now, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but it's interesting, worth mentioning. I know Brother Mark and I have talked about this from time to time. Anybody ever noticed some of the links between like the verses that are numbered out, like chapter 3, verse 16? Right, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Right? 1 Timothy 3:16, right? The mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Right, and you can, that's kind of a fun study to do sometimes. You can sort of run those things together. I never put this together until I was studying this message. Romans 3, 4, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Who's the father of lies? Satan is. John 8:44. Jesus told us that. Where's the first lie he told? Anybody want to guess? Genesis 3, guess what verse? How about that? Genesis 3, 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, look at this bold-faced lie, ye shall not surely die. And God said, the day you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And the devil lies. Oh, he lies. And I wish Adam and Eve had Romans 3, 4. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. Yea, let God be true and every serpent a liar. Amen. Amen. All right. The instruction that leads to damnation. 2 Peter. If you have never repented of your sin and you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell, my friend, today I say this with all concern and care and compassion that I can. You are condemned already. And you are on the broad way that leadeth to everlasting destruction. God's not waiting for you to commit a certain amount of sins or a certain heinous sin. You are already headed that direction. And the way you get out of that is to repent and place your faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. That's how you get out. You say, it can't be that easy. It is that easy. It has to be that easy. Because if you and I can do it, it's not by grace, it's by works. All right. 2 Peter 1. Verse 16, the instruction that leads to damnation. And I'll tell you this before we start into this morning. The instruction that leads to damnation tries to place people's faith in everything coming and going except Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 16, Bible says this, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I've said this before, I'll say it again. There's an exhibit at the... How many of you have been to the Ark, by the way? The Ark Encounter up in Kentucky. How many of you would like to go? Okay, maybe worth a trip then. As you end that tour through the Ark and you come into this room and it's filled with children's books. And there's all these different depictions of Noah's Ark, right? And they've got, you know, they got the giraffe poking his head out the top and smiling, you know, and they've got the hippos frolicking in the puddle that's left over after the flood. Right? And of course, you know, children's books get illustrated that way, and that's fine. But the whole point of that is some of the children's books that depict Noah's Ark and some of the other biblical events, the crossing of the Red Sea and things like that, they do so subtly to cause the children to doubt whether that really happened. In other words, they write it in such a way that it kind of seems like a fairy tale. And I'm telling you, Noah's Ark is not a fairy tale. The crossing of the Red Sea is not a cunningly devised fable. It really happened. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is not just something that was dreamed up by homophobic people. It really happened. Where is it today? I think God did a pretty good job, don't you? So here's the whole point of this. I was sitting there reading this, and they have the 6 or 7 D's of deception in children's books laid out there. I took pictures of it all because it's a great sermon topic sometime. And I turned to my left, and it scared me, because on the wall is this huge, wicked, vile-looking red serpent. And he's got his face down, that little stupid tongue, right, stuck out at you. And on the plaque, on the sign, it says, if I can convince you the flood never happened, I can convince you heaven's not real. And the world, listen, you talk to scientists, falsely so-called, you talk to atheists and agnostics and all the people out there that oppose God, and you start talking about the flood, and they'll say, are you crazy? Do you really think that happened? I really think it happened. I'll hold my comments there. But these cunningly devised fables... I was never really much of a reader growing up. I know a lot of people like to read fiction. I know a lot of people like to read Christian fiction. You know why America and the world is just enamored with movies? Because it's not real. It's fantasy. It's make-believe. And let's just be honest, reality in this world is so depressing, I can understand wanting to escape to a fantastical world somewhere. But the Bible is not a cunningly devised fable. The Word of God is not something devised by man to try to manipulate people one way or another. No, the Bible is God's holy Word. It's not a cunningly devised fable. And as it says later here in chapter 1, it is a more sure word of prophecy. But you know what those cunningly devised fables do? They play on your emotions. They pull your heartstrings. I know people that could never shed a tear in life, but they can watch a movie and just old Yeller when he dies, you know, and here it comes. Right? Hollywood is a master at manipulating your emotions. And unfortunately, it's found its way into pulpits all across America. And there's men and women that stand every Sunday and they manipulate the emotions of the people sitting there listening to them, and the people love it so. Bible says this in over there in verse 19. It says, we have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. So you better listen to what God said. You better listen to what God said than what Edgar Allan Poe said. Better listen to what God said than what CNN says. Those are some cunningly devised fables. Amen. Verse 20, knowing that this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. See, that man didn't dream this up. Where did it come from? Holy men of God. I'd take that over any Fox News commentator any day. I'll take holy men of God over pro athletes that don't know up and down. I'll take the holy men of God being used of God to write some things down over a guy that gets high on weed and does unbelievable things to his family. Joseph Smith. I'll just go ahead and call the name. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And 2 Timothy 3:16 tells you all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's your definition. Now, chapter 2. But, so God did all that work inspiring the Scriptures. He did all that work, if you will, in preserving the King James Bible. Praise the Lord for it. But, there were false prophets also among the people. So back when God was giving these holy men these revelations, there were also false prophets trying to steal the heart of the people. And you can see that. You can see that in Paul's day. You can see that in Jeremiah's day. You can see that in Isaiah and Ezekiel's day. You can see that in Daniel's day. All the way back through Scripture, you can see when God was using a man to prophesy, the devil had his men right there with him. Same today. Same true today. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now, who's the you? Go back to chapter 2, or chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Is that you? That's me. Okay, so when Peter writes this, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, when Peter writes this and he says, that even as there shall be false teachers among you, he's talking to saved, born-again believers who are a part of the church. And he said, listen, he said they're going to be among you. Look what it says. Who privily or privately, however you want to say that, shall bring in damnable heresy. Here's the instruction that leads to damnation. And it goes on, the Bible goes ahead, it's its best, the Bible is its best dictionary, and it tells you what a damnable heresy is. You ready? Even denying the Lord that bought them. So here's your test for a heresy in life. Somebody starts teaching you out of the Bible, starts teaching you things about God, and they deny that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's a heresy. It's not just a heresy, it's a damnable heresy. In other words, if people believe that, they'll go to hell. Anybody that tries to teach you something out of the Bible and pulls the focus off of Jesus Christ as the one that deserves all the glory and honor and puts it onto man or puts it onto a doctrine, that is a heresy. That is a damnable heresy. And if somebody believes that, they'll die and go to hell. Now, the Lord told you and I in Jude verse 3, that we should earnestly contend for the faith. What is the faith? Trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone to save you of your sins. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And whoever, if anybody in this life tries to take that away from Jesus and teach, listen, I got to call some things straight out this morning because otherwise people don't put this stuff together. If somebody tells you you've got to sit in a closet and talk to somebody else through a screen in order to get forgiven of your sins, that is a damnable heresy. If they tell you you can sit in a church and eat a wafer and drink some wine and you'll be okay with God, that is a damnable heresy. If they tell you you have to believe in Jesus Christ and be water baptized in order to be justified and declared righteous, that is a damnable heresy. If they tell you Joseph Smith is better than Jesus, that's a damnable heresy. If they tell you hell does not exist and that if you go there, your soul just is blown up and it annihilates itself, that is a damnable heresy this morning. And there's people sitting in buildings just like this all over America, all over the world, and somebody is standing and teaching them something contrary to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but it makes my blood boil pretty hot. Because nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Buddha never died for you. Joseph Smith certainly didn't die for you. Charles Taz Russell was a weirdo. The Campbellites, and not this Campbellite, but the Campbellites that teach you got to be water baptized before you can be right with God, that's a damnable heresy. And Peter said, in the churches, there's going to be people that come in, they start teaching that stuff. And he says what they're doing is they're denying the Lord that bought them. And they're going to bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now look what it says. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That word pernicious means destructive. And it says, by reason of whom the way of truth. Well, who's that? That's Jesus. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. It's almost unfathomable to us sitting in Spring City, Virginia today that somebody would speak evil of Jesus Christ and tell someone he's not the way to heaven. But it happens in bigger churches than this all over the world. And then I'll say this. I have talked to more than I want to in this area that grew up in a church just like this. Some of them even grew up in this church. And they're now running with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're now involved in witchcraft and Wicca. And you say, what's that? Don't worry about it. They've adopted the atheistic and agnostic, and those are just big words. An atheist is somebody who doesn't believe God exists, and an agnostic says you can't know for sure, which is weird because they know for sure. But anyway, they have adopted the philosophy of this world, and they grew up in a place just like this. But what happened was they never got grounded. They never got this teaching today that said you better not link up with everybody that calls on the name of the Lord. You better be so careful who you link up with and who you listen to. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a guy out in Arizona. I don't know where he is, but his name is Steven Anderson. Don't you listen to one word that Steven Anderson says. If you don't know who that is, praise God, don't even go look it up. But I'm telling you, independent Baptist churches all across America are getting pulled into that heretic's teaching, and it's destroying those churches from the inside out. Don't you dare listen to a guy out in Kansas City, and I think his name is Lewis, his last name is Lewis, and he's involved in all this spiritual warfare stuff. I'm telling you, that guy is devil-possessed. But he pastors an independent King James only Baptist church. Say, how can you say that? Aren't you just being mean and ugly? No, I'm trying to warn you of people that'll destroy you. I hope you listen to 1380 AM, and if you tune in to 690, don't do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 2 to 4 p.m. There's a heretic of the greatest caliber over there that's on that radio station, and he will flat twist you upside one and down the other side if you're not careful. Don't listen to him. Why are you being so strong on this? Because there's instruction that people will listen to that leads them straight to hell. Listen, remember those cunningly devised fables? Those damnable heresies. Look, damnable heresies are not on the surface. They're not wicked. No, the devil's smarter than that. He makes these damnable heresies look really nice. Hey, you know, you can earn God's favor if you'll give enough money to the church. Hey, you know, you can earn God's favor if you'll walk across some hot coals barefooted. Hey, you know, you can earn God's favor if you'll do a certain amount of community service every week. Hey, you know, you can go to heaven if you do name the thing. And because people like to do things and we like to work and we like to feel good about ourselves, people step right in there and they follow those damnable heresies and they follow it straight to hell, thinking that they're religious and they're right with God. And the Bible says when the Lord Jesus Christ judges the world, there's going to be a crowd that stands there and says, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Lord, didn't we do all these mighty works in your name? And he's going to look at them and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Religion has sent more people to hell than anything else. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. All right. So what's the test for a damnable heresy? Anything or anybody that tries to take your faith off of Jesus Christ, stay away from it. Jesus is the only way. Amen. All right. I covered that. You're glad. Praise the Lord. Romans 13. Wasn't it great seeing all those kids up here this morning? That a blessing, man. God so blessed our church. Praise the Lord for it. You know, I've said this 100 times. I'll say it 100 more. That is a tremendous responsibility. Every one of those kids up here, parents, church, we've got an incredible responsibility to raise them for Jesus Christ, to train them in the way that they ought to go. And we trust that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. We have a tremendous responsibility. As I told the Sunday school teachers this morning, and I'll say this for whoever it might help. You know, we get religious phrases stuck in our minds and our hearts sometimes, don't we? And I told our Sunday school teachers and folks this morning, I said, you know, when we talk to our kids about salvation, I said, let's make sure that we use biblical terminology, such as you must be born again. And deal with those kids about their sin before God and that Jesus loved them enough to die on the cross for their sins and I need to be saved because I'm a sinner before God. That kind of stuff. And you know, it's real easy talking with kids to try to water it down or to try to take the edge off somehow, but you know, that sells them short. And I'm telling you, sometimes even the best meaning parents and the parents with the best intentions and churches with the best intentions that reach those kids, sometimes we don't tell them the full truth of God's word and we don't use the terminology that God uses and it sells them short. And it might even give them a false sense of security. So we need to be careful. But this is all in line with what I'm getting ready to say here. Romans 13. The Bible says this in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now again, I don't want to get caught in the weeds. This is talking in the greater context about government. Okay. But I was talking about the kids. I want to pull it back to just a very elementary point this morning. Parents, you got kids. Praise God for it. It's your job to teach them the Bible in your home. When they come to church, church is a strong reinforcement for what you should be doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at home. And if you want to, go ahead and do it Sunday. It won't hurt a bit. Too often, parents lean on the crutch of the church to teach their kids about Jesus. And I'm telling you, moms and dads, if you'll do it at home, it'll make it so much more enjoyable for them when they come to church. And they'll already have the knowledge of what that Sunday school teacher's talking about. I'm just saying this, man. Your kids ought not hear Jesus' name for the first time when they come to church. Okay? But all that aside, here's the point. I hope, mom, dad, and I'll even extend, I hope grandma, grandpa, or whatever it is you call yourself, I hope that you are training your children and grandchildren to fear God, to respect God, to honor God. And you know how you train them to do that? You train them to do that with the people they see every day. You train them to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. You train your children to obey their parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You train your children, honor thy father and mother. Because if they can learn to do that at 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, when they hear God said, you better repent or you'll perish for all of eternity, they have learned how to submit themselves to authority. And the number one, listen, damnable heresies aside, the number one teaching that leads people to hell is teaching them to rebel against authority. And parents, to invoke Barney Fife, if you can nip that in the bud at an early age, there is a better chance your children will be born again when they see the authority and power of God in their lives. So the instruction to damnation, listen, the instruction to damnation or the instruction to salvation begins in childhood. And parents, you can help your kids out 1,000-fold if you'll teach them to obey you and honor you. Because if they'll obey you and honor you, there's a really good chance they'll obey and honor God.